In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' lament over Jerusalem is not unique to the Gospel of St. Luke. It's not the first time that Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, that he cried out in woe, in sorrow, because of Jerusalem's unfaithfulness. In the 13th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, we read, "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' And he said to them, 'Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" And here it is, the lamentation, the cry of sorrow over God's holy city. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Six chapters later, Jesus arrives in the city for his final Passover, for what begins Holy Week. We're told that when Jesus drew near and he saw the city, he wept over it. You know, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Well, here he's weeping again. He's weeping not because a friend of his, Lazarus, has died, as occurs in the Gospel of St. John, but here he is weeping over God's holy city. Now, there's a difference between weeping and crying. You can cry like this, shed a few tears. But weeping is more like this. If I'm ever weeping like that, please don't laugh. Weeping comes from deeper within. One weeps when his or her soul has been struck to the very roots. When you're weeping, your chest heaves. The tears come from your eyes. Your throat may tighten, and you're in the grip of this great sorrow and can't seem to free yourself. Jesus wept. He wept at Lazarus' tomb because there he saw a friend who had been swallowed up by death. And even though he knew that he was going to call Lazarus forth from the grave, he still wept. And I think part of the reason he wept was because very shortly, Jesus' own holy, precious, sinless body would be laid to rest in a tomb. But in today's gospel reading, Jesus weeps over a city that has not recognized the time of their visitation. You remember in St. Luke's gospel where Jesus raises the widow of Nain's son, and the people burst forth in praise when this son who was being carried out of the village to be buried lives again at Jesus' word, and they break forth in praise to God because God has visited his people. God visits his people in one of two ways: to call them to repentance, to chastise them, to enable them to see that they are lost and hopeless without him. Or he visits his people in mercy, as Jesus did at Nain. Here, Jesus has come, the very Lamb of God. Here, in today's gospel reading, Jesus has come to the city where the temple of God has been established. Here, Jesus comes as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, as God incarnate. And he laments over the city. If only you had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Luther was distressed because he could already see that in the Germany of his day, the gospel was being rejected. People took it for granted. They became indifferent toward hearing the gospel, receiving the sacrament, toward participating in the liturgy of the church. Luther describes how the people were more interested in filling their bellies, in accumulating the things of this world, more wealth, more status, greater possessions. And Luther knew that if the people continued along that course, God would withdraw the gospel from them. The worst thing of all is to be indifferent to the gospel. Let me correct that. That's second worst. The worst thing of all is to despise and hate the gospel by which God reconciles sinners to himself for the sake of his Son. If Jesus were to draw near to this congregation, that's a rhetorical if, because he does in fact draw near to us in his word and in the sacraments. He is present in his body and blood in the communion elements. But would Jesus lament over us and say, if only you at Mount Olive had known the things that make for peace, that God establishes peace with you through me. But you at Mount Olive, now these things are hidden from your eyes. You cannot detect them. You're indifferent to them. They aren't important to you. Would Jesus say that of me? As an individual, as a pastor in his church, would he say that to you? Would he lament that we neglect God's word, that we take for granted the Holy Supper of our Lord. Well, if we do, we shall certainly be overthrown, just as the city of Jerusalem was. 40 years after Christ uttered this lament, when Roman armies under the command of General Titus surrounded the city, besieged that city, and finally conquered that city, the Jewish historian Josephus says that the wealthy swallowed their coins, their most valuable coins, so the Romans wouldn't get them. But the Romans knew what they were doing, so they slit open the bellies of these people who had done that. And because they found coins of gold and silver, they did that to people who had not swallowed the coins, hoping they could get some wealth out of these people whom they slaughtered. The days will come upon you in 40 years when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation when I, your Messiah, I, your Savior, I who am the true temple of God, came among you. I'm glad Jesus weeps for you. I'm glad he weeps for me. That's an expression of his love for us, his concern for us. We so often go astray, don't we? We so often set our hearts on other things, don't we? Other things than the most wonderful treasure we have on earth, the gospel of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. I have a lot of Bibles. You could say I'm a Bible collector, a Bible nut. But those Bibles won't save me just sitting there on my shelf. I need to encounter the Word of God in these pages. The Word of God to me, calling me to repentance and faith. And the same for you. Pay heed to God's word. It's a word calling you and me to repentance. For sometimes being unmindful of the things of God, and it's a comforting word to us, a word of peace. Jeremiah chastised the prophets in today's reading. Jeremiah had told the people that God was going to destroy the city of Jerusalem because of their unfaithfulness. And in fact, it happened while Jeremiah was living, some 600 years before Christ. But the false prophets that the people listened to did not call the people to repentance. They heal the wound of my people lightly, God laments. They say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The only lasting peace we have in this world is that peace which Christ has established for us. Peace with God, the peace that passes all understanding. The peace that cannot be taken away from us, even though we live in a fallen world, even though Or if our country should break forth in a new civil war, even though a great tragedy befall our town, we have peace with God. We know that Jesus, who wept over the city because it despised him, was crucified by and for just such a people. Just such a people as you and me. He willingly gave himself over to the death on the cross for you. How your heart and my heart should warm at that thought. What wondrous love is this? What miraculous, marvelous love. That Jesus should not merely lay down his life for his friends, but for those who by nature were enemies of God. And yet in Christ, God has established his peace with us. And Jesus is the bringer and giver of that peace. And he is among us today to speak his peace, his gospel, his salvation, his forgiveness to us anew, though we don't deserve it one little bit. Just a minute or two. At the end of today's gospel reading, we hear how Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, those who had made the temple of God a marketplace. We're told that he made a whip of cords and he drove out the animals and the moneylenders. It is written, Jesus says, "My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." The temple was a great place for financial gain. The temple was a place where people had set up their little booths, not to give stuff away, as we hope to be doing on the 16th of this month, but to take from the people. And by doing so, they distracted the people who came from the very purpose of the temple, a house of prayer. The temple was torn down, destroyed in 70 AD, and it has not been rebuilt because there is no need for a new temple in Jerusalem. We have the temple of Jesus' body. When he first cleansed the temple in John, the temple officials, scribes, Pharisees, asked him by what authority he did those things. He did not answer their question. Instead, he said, "You tear this temple down, and I will build it up in 3 days." And he was referring to the temple of his body. You too, dear friends in Christ, are members of his body, you who trust in Jesus. We together are a living temple because God is present among us. God in his love, God in his grace, God in his mercy, God in his compassion. The God who is with us always to the very end of the age. When we experience loss, when we experience the unexpected death of a loved one, when we hear the doctor's diagnosis, when we are troubled and concerned and weep over a child who has gone astray, Jesus is with us. He is with you. And in Him is the peace that I said earlier, and we'll say in just a minute, that passes all understanding, a peace that overcomes the evils and the sin and the tragedies and the pain and the losses that come with life in a fallen world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And here it is. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.